Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that message and song as well. And I'm very thankful for the very special grace of God. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. If you turn there with me this morning, we're going to be reading verse 10 down to verse 13. Romans chapter 14, verse 10 down to verse 13. I believe it's where the Lord would have us to be this morning and the message that he has for us to receive. And so if you would, if you're able to, go ahead and stand with me. And as I read, you follow right along with me here in the book of Romans in chapter 14 and verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, what a blessing it's already been just being in thy house. And thank you, Father, for your presence here. Thank you for how you've already ministered to us through the services and the congregational singing, the special music, and just being around the household of faith. And Father, now I pray that you might help us to focus on this passage of Scripture and open up our hearts and minds to your Holy Spirit to be able to receive that which you have for us. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message for your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Have you ever wondered why people seem to get by with evil? Or possibly why justice is not always served? Or why good things happen to bad people? We like to reverse that. We like to think and why bad things happen to good people, but can I tell you there's a reason, there's a thought that can be very discouraging when you think of why good things happen to bad people. Paul here in Romans chapter 14, he addresses believers in Rome. That's who he's writing it to. And in verse chapter 14, they were at odds with each other. And they might have been asking those same questions. Why isn't that person being judged by what they are, the life they're living or what they're doing? Should I do something to bring the judgment into their lives? A lot of different things here going on in the minds of the believers here in the book of, in the place of Rome. And Paul addresses that with this message. In verse 10 through 13, he reveals a very powerful lesson that they needed to hear and to apply to their own minds and their way of thinking. And it's something that all Christianity, especially here today, 21st century Christianity, we need to have this understanding. We need to have the thoughts that God has for us when we have these questions on God. Why is it that that person who's living a sinful life seems to be prospering more than that person who's living a godly life? Why are good things happening to bad people? Verse 11, he says, for it is written, as I live, if there is a God in heaven, saith the Lord, know this, every knee of every human being that's ever lived, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue. And God says here, again, he wants us to be aware of this. He says, shall confess to God. Can I tell you, it's part of God's design for humanity. It's how God would have all of us to think, to be aware of, that not only myself, but everyone will give an account. The prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, and you can look back or you can just write it down, but in chapter 45, Isaiah prophesies something that the children of Israel needed to hear, but it's also something that is recorded in the New Testament, so it is definitely part of New Testament Christianity. But in Isaiah chapter 45, Isaiah says this. He says in verse 18, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens," and there is a creator God. We might not understand everything about how he created. Our minds are limited in what we can fully understand, but we can understand what God has revealed to us. And what God has revealed to us, we need to understand. There is a God who has created the heavens. God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. He knew when he was forming the heavens and the earth and creating everything that he created that man would inhabit the earth. I am the Lord and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Isn't that a blessing, man? Yeah. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. A lot of people living that way today. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together who hath declared this from ancient time, who hath told it from that, who hath told it from that time. Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. He's the only plan of salvation, and he is a just God. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear, or if you will, as recorded in the New Testament, confess. This is what God had prophesied Old Testament. For humanity, all those who would inhabit the earth would understand this is part of God's design. every knee, every tongue. In the book of Philippians, in chapter 2, we find, as Paul writes, and under the inspiration, no doubt, of the Holy Spirit of God, the whole Bible has been inspired by God, inspired everyone that has written, as God has preserved it for us today. In Philippians, in chapter 2, in verse 10, it says this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ, understand this, every soul, every life that has ever lived will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. To the glory of God the Father. Every knee, every tongue, all will give an account. To give an account is accountability. Definition, Webster's, to be held responsible for decisions made. As you give an account, that means that you are going to be held responsible for decisions made, because decisions are made in the mind and follow through in the body in actions. And so everyone will give an account of our actions based on the decisions of a free will has made. If only everyone would live with this in mind, what a difference. Some people will think, well, I can do this in secret, and no one will ever know it. If you'd erase that and say, there's nothing I can do that God does not see. There's not a thought in my mind that I have that God does not know. It might help us to reject certain ways of thinking. And if you reject certain ways of thinking, then you will never commit certain actions. Because too often we're deceived into thinking that we are different. Those laws are for everyone else, but I'm different. Everyone else, they can't handle it, but I can handle it. Human nature. Sinful nature. If everyone would just live with this powerful truth in mind. Can I tell you, in school, when I was going to school and even going all the way back into grade school, every teacher that I ever had made me give an account. Because every teacher that I ever had made me take tests. And by taking those tests, it revealed what I had been doing with my time. I might be able to keep my eyes open and act like I'm listening, but taking a test would reveal whether I had really been listening and had been doing what my teacher had instructed me to do. They're spending their time trying to educate their students. And if there's no accountability, then that student was not going to and will not learn what they need to learn. And so every teacher realizes that in order for that student to be accountable to what I'm trying to get across and what I'm trying to teach them and what I'm trying to help them to learn for their life, they need to be accountable. A test is a way to make them accountable. Our account is giving me a grade. Because once I took the test, even if they had a little curve there to help everyone to do a little better, it still gave me a grade. When I was in school, we used to have report cards given to us every 6 weeks. 3 6-weeks made half a semester. And then the second 6 weeks, final grade, determine whether you passed or not. My accountability on my grade was presented either an A, and they'd give some degree of an A plus, A minus, a B plus, a B minus, a C, C plus, a C minus, a D, D plus, D minus, and then an F. I don't think there was an F minus. If there were, I'm sure that I would have gotten one. They would give me grades. They put it on my report card every 6 weeks. And they did it in pencil. They would trust the students to take the report card home. And we would have to take the report card that determines accountability for that class and how I had been paying attention and the work that had been done. And I would have to take that report card and give it to my disciplinarian father. And it was done in pencil. It wasn't my fault. It was the temptation that they did. They put me in. They put me in a position that that F that might have been on that report card, especially when it's in pencil, it's really easy to make an F into a B. And I knew that not only was that my account, but I would have to present that to my dad. And then I would not get a grade from my dad. I would either be punished and get a spanking for failures or whatever it might have been. I would have to give an account to my dad why I did not pass that particular course, why I got the grade that I got. So if I could, then I did not want to give an account for an F. I would rather him look at me and said, "Are you stupid? You got a B?" But then I found out teachers are not stupid. And somehow the authority used to kind of work together for the welfare of the student. If I got in trouble at school, I guarantee you I was in trouble when I got home. My dad took up for the teacher over me. Come on, Dad. I'm your flesh and blood. It didn't matter. I did that one time, and I realized it was worse to take a F turned into a B home and be accountable for that than to take a failing grade home and be accountable for that. But I was held accountable, and rightly so. Because if they didn't care, my parents didn't care, why should I care about learning? Can I tell you that we need accountability? Our children need accountability. God designed us to be accountable. Go back to our text here. Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, understood what this church and what these believers needed in Rome, and what every believer would need to understand throughout life. In verse 10, he says, "Why dost thou judge thy brother, and why dost thou set at naught thy brother?" Paul asks a question: why are you doing this? Why are you so concerned about somebody else being accountable? With that, then we find that Paul gives the answer to the question of their whys. He says, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, 'As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.'" We need to know that. You see, what we need to know is there is accountability, and it's set up by God that the most righteous of all will hold us accountable. God the Son, Jesus Christ, will be judge. The most righteous that anyone could ever imagine, judge. In John chapter 5, and let me just read it to you. I'm going to give you a few verses here, so you might want to write them down, but listen to what I'm presenting here from the Scriptures. John chapter 5 and verse 22. John chapter 5 and verse 22. "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed," this is the words of Christ, "all judgment unto the Son." He came to identify with humanity. He walked on the face of the earth. He faced the greatest temptations any man has ever faced in every area of life. He lived a life of righteousness. Not one sin. Not one wrong thought. All judgment has been given to him. The book of Acts in chapter 17, in Acts in chapter 17, again, let me just read this to you. Acts 17 and verse 31. In the book of Acts in chapter 17, verse 30 and verse 31, verse 30 says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." We're going to fail. We're going to have failing grades. We're going to make bad decisions from time to time. But there is a possibility of repenting of that bad decision. God allows us to repent and actually be forgiven of our sins. And once our sins have been forgiven, and they're only forgiven if there is genuine repentance, a confession and forsaking of that sin. And as we are confessing and forsaking that sin, and we look to Jesus Christ and confess to him, then his blood covers us. The one who will judge us covers our sins and cast them as far as the east is from the west, never to be brought back to our account. Wow. That's repentance. That's something that we can do. If we don't wait too long. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world, the lost and the saved, the world in righteousness, not based upon what man deems righteous and moral, but based upon what God deems righteous and moral. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Another blessing of the resurrection is to be sure your sins will find you out. Be sure you will be judged by a righteous, almighty creator, God. Romans in chapter 2, in the book of Romans in chapter 2, in verse 16, he says this: in the day when God shall judge the secrets of man by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. In the day when God shall judge the secrets. Can I tell you that means that no matter how long ago it was, no matter how they might have deceived everybody else around them, even though they might not have been judged by the law, they might not have gotten the proper righteous judgment that they deserved because they have hidden it and it's been kept secret. The Bible says there's no secrets when it comes to God's judgment. Yeah. The Bible says that offenses must come. Offenses. People are going to offend other people. Because God has given a free will, God has to allow certain things. Because that person has a free will, and sometimes that free will can affect somebody else's free will. But because God has given us a free will, he has to allow certain things. Offenses must come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. You're not getting by with it. A just God is going to make sure that you have to give an account. Even though you might want to block it out of your mind and you might want to pretend it didn't happen, listen to me, God sees it all, and there are no secret things when it comes to the judgment of God. And woe to that man by whom that offense cometh. Wow. There's two places for this judgment to take place. In the verse 10 it says, why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all, talking about believers. Paul wrote this to the believers at Rome, and so he's talking about the believers. He said, we as believers shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The first place that the Bible reveals that this judgment is going to take place is with the believers. Now, we'll not give an account for sins that are under the blood. I love that. Because Jesus paid for that. In order for them to be under the blood, they have to be repented of. Salvation, you have to repent and receive Christ and the free gift of everlasting life, which means that he forgives of all of your past sins. He has washed them. Praise the Lord for that. We don't understand how powerful that is. We need to. That person gets saved. Their sins have been forgiven and washed. They become a new creature. Opportunities to live the rest of their lives for the cause of Christ. Yeah. This place of the judgment seat of Christ is going to be in heaven. It's in heaven, and it's after the rapture. While there's tribulation taking place on earth, the believers will be raptured to go to be with the Lord. And during that, there will be a judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. And follow with me here. We're almost done here. But it's powerful truth we need to grasp and be aware of. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, in verse 10. For we must all appear, and this is the believers again. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All believers. Because we're going to be raptured up. We're in heaven now. We're with the Lord Jesus Christ. That everyone may receive the things done in his body. Your body is a temple of God once you get saved. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. That's what makes your body the temple, because God dwells within you. You're not your own anymore. You're bought with a price. And therefore, we ought to glorify the Lord in our bodies. And we will receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. There's going to be this judgment seat of Christ, and it's only for believers, and it will take place in heaven, and there will be crowns, and there'll be rewards, and there will be judgments concerning what we've done with our salvation, how we've lived our lives as believers, accomplishing what God would have us to accomplish. The Bible talks about our light in heaven, how it will affect the brightness. So I don't know. Will there be a brightness of an A? A brightness of a B? A brightness of a C? Possibly getting in by the skin of your teeth and a brightness as a D? We don't fully understand and fully know it all and how it's all going to, but we know it's going to take place. If you failed, you're not going to be in heaven. So don't, you're not going to get an F, but but we will give an account of our Christian life. The second place is at the entrance of a place called Gehenna, hell. It's real. As much as heaven is real, hell is real. And for all those who rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior, whether looking forward to his coming from the Old Testament, looking to him while he walked on the face of the earth, or looking back toward his crucifixion and resurrection in this New Testament Christianity, all that reject him will be judged here. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. This is what the Bible reveals to us about this accountability. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. This is Gehenna, hell. The lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, they had been cast in earlier. And shall be tormented. There is torment, day and night, without end, forever and ever. That's what the Bible is telling us about this. People need to have this awareness. It's real. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead and small and great stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. There's more than one book according to their works. There are different degrees in hell. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead. That hell means grave. Gave up the dead that were in them, and they were judged. A righteous judgment, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, that's the Lamb's book of life, you can only be placed there through the blood of Christ. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into this Gehenna hell, this lake of fire. Can I tell you, knowing this to be a future fact of accountability, it ought to help many get saved and live right, because there is an accountability that is connected to the decisions of a free will. Everyone will stand alone. The Bible reveals these things to us. Everyone will stand alone in the presence of Christ. That's what he says in verse 12 there, in chapter 14, verse 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. My Lord and my judge. Can I tell you, I'm not in fear of that, because he's my Lord. He's my Lord right now. He's my Lord in how I live my life now. He's my Lord in the decisions I'm making now. He is my Lord, and my Lord is going to be my judge. And I say, hallelujah, he is righteous. I'm not fearing that. Because the judge is my Savior. He's my Lord. See, my report card was easier to present when I had all A's. Never had all A's, so I don't know, but it would have been a whole lot easier to present. To take that home to my dad, and my dad would fall over, amen, when he says, all A's, what happened to my son? That's what it's going to be like when you know that you are serving God and looking to accomplish what God has for you to accomplish, and you have given your life to serve God and be the Christian that God wants you to be. When you stand before Jesus Christ, you see, there's going to be crowns. There's going to be blessings. It's a judgment, but it is righteous. He's my Lord. Yeah. Not all will hear what they want to hear. For some, it'll be, depart from me, I never knew you. And they will spend the rest of their eternity in that Gehenna hell. The last thing is found in verse 13. With this knowledge of accountability, our focus ought to be on our life and opportunities that we have to serve Christ. Let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore. I don't have to. I don't have to worry about their getting their just judgment. I don't have to be the one to make sure that happens. I don't have to be the judge. I'm not the judge. I'm not the one accountable for judging. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather. This is what we will give an account for. That no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I want to live to encourage. I want to live to edify. I want to live to exhort. I want to live to be a help. I want to live with the purpose that Jesus came and lived for. He came to seek and to save that which is lost, and to give humanity a better way of life. That's what we need to focus on. As Paul would say, for to me to live is Christ. And if I do that, to die is gain. Are we living with those righteous thoughts in mind? If I could have every head bowed this morning. What a powerful truth that God wanted every believer to have and understand. Why do good things happen to bad people? Bad things happen to good. I don't have to think about that. I just know that ultimately God has a purpose and a plan. And ultimately, everything will be judged by Him. All things, all people. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. And I pray, God, that you would take this now that's been preached and help us to apply it to our lives. If there's anyone here that has never repented and called upon the name of the Lord to be their Savior, Lord, I pray that would take place right here, right now. If there's those that are blinded thinking they can get by with secret sins and secret acts, Lord, help them to see the reality of no secrets, no blinders. Pray that we would, as we have opportunity to draw closer to you. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.